few hours ago in Rome, our Holy Father Pope Francis presided over the solemn canonizations of several blessed, among them two sisters and two diocesan priests who worked with the poor, Pope Paul VI, who shepherded the Second Vatican Council to its conclusion, and Archbishop Oscar Romero of San Salvador. At this moment when our church is shaken with scandals and the integrity of the institution and many of our hierarchy is being questioned, and questioned rightly, the canonization of these servants of God seems particularly meaningful and helpful. Paul VI did not close the windows that were opened by John the 23rd, but insisted that the church enter into deeper dialogue with the world, with its grief and its anguish, with its joys and its hopes. The biographies of the sisters and the priests canonized today speak to the glorious witness of the church's faithful religious and clergy who gave their lives in service. But the canonization of Oscar Arnulfo Romero is perhaps the most powerful sign to us in this troubled moment. A sign that change is possible, that the gospel is alive, that love is more powerful even than death. Oscar Romero was a safe, pious, moderately conservative bishop. He wasn't a great scholar, and he wasn't a dramatic personality. His appointment to the see of the capital city of San Salvador in 1977, in the midst of an open civil war, was welcomed by the conservative regime and by the landed classes that ruled and continue to this day to rule El Salvador. He would be agreeable, they felt, safe, and would make no waves. 3 years after his installation, Oscar Romero was gunned down at the altar as he said Mass in a hospital chapel. A bullet pierced his heart as he held up the bread that was to be consecrated. Blood pouring from his mouth and nose and ears, his last words were, "May God forgive my assassin." "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, then come, follow me." So what transformed that safe and agreeable man into a target? What happened to him that made him become the voice of the voiceless, that made him such a fervent advocate and protector of the poor and the oppressed that the regime sent out a death squad to gun him down at the altar? It's a complicated story. But one piece of that story is that Oscar had a friend, a classmate of his who went on to become a Jesuit. His name was Rutilio Grande. Educated in Latin America and in Europe, Rutilio was a man deeply imbued with the spirit of the Second Vatican Council, the same council that Paul VI saw through to its startling conclusions. Different men that they were, Rutilio remained friends with Oscar, although he was much more of an activist, much more dedicated to speaking truthful words, speaking words of justice to power much more than his friend, the cautious new archbishop. Yet a few months after Oscar's installation as archbishop, while he was on his way to a remote village in the jungle to preach a novena, Grande and two of his companions were ambushed by government security forces, and they died in a rain of gunfire. The archbishop and Rutilio's provincial rushed to the scene, and by the time they got there, the campesinos had carried their bodies the last few miles and laid them before the altar in the church where Rutilio was to have said Mass and preached. And that changed everything. There are, Oscar Romero later said, many things that can only be seen through eyes that have wept. Beginning that night, the timid archbishop began to listen to the voices of the poor and the powerless, the oppressed. He began to speak, and to speak forcefully, demanding justice for his martyred friend and his companions and for his country. He became, as he was called, and as he called all believers to be, Christ's microphone. His radio homilies electrified the country until the government cut the power to their transmitters. When the government refused to investigate the murders, Oscar Romero refused to play their game. He called them out in clear and unambiguous language. And he called the church to witness as well. The transcendence that the church preaches, he said, is not alienation from the world. It is not going up to heaven to think about eternal life and forget about the problems of the earth. It is a transcendence that comes from the human heart. It is entering into the reality of a child, of the poor, of those wearing rags, of the sick, of those who live in a hovel or a shack. It is going to share with them. And from the very heart of misery, from the very heart of this situation, to transcend it, to elevate it, to promote it, and to say to them, you aren't trash. You aren't marginalized. It is to say the opposite. You are valuable. And the man said to Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? After years of obfuscation and the creation of endless obstacles presented by those who feared Oscar Romero's challenging words, first Pope Benedict and then Pope Francis dared to listen again to Bishop Oscar's voice, speaking on the very day before he was martyred. The church preaches your liberation, he said, just as we have studied it in the Holy Bible today. It is a liberation that has, above all else, respect for the dignity of the person, hope for humanity's common good, and the transcendence that looks before all to God, and only from God derives its hope and its strength. Through the intercession of all these new saints, through the intercession of Saint Oscar, bishop and martyr, may we ourselves find courage. Courage to purify our church, to promote respect for the dignity of all persons, and seek the transcendence that looks before all to God and only from God for its hope and for its strength.